Nice to see you again.
You too. Okay. Welcome to Center Study of Truth, Miss Stephen Mager. We have a really special guest today, tonight. Corey Andrulat is from Nature is the Answer. Have some philosophical writings. He's an author, you counter creator. I like your material that is really simple language that we can understand by daily. An average person can understand that language that you speak in, that I really appreciate your work you do with that, really. And your book, Slavery Gone for Good, yes, is
Yes.
really, I li really like the title of the book and the subtitles. Yeah, you go under the subjects, very organized and very simple to understand. It's really important in our days to transfer the message in more and more simple way, because we're dealing with very ignorant and very ignorant people that they've forgotten their values and who they are. And I believe we need to know who we are first to solve any problem, any issue, to understand the moral rights and moral values. And I want you to tell about you a little, from what background you arrive from, what kind of movement you have, and really I want to focus on what we really can do, how we can communicate these ideas, and especially in my place when I live, we have a lot of order followers in our community, and this is completely, you see this day by day. I don't know how you see that, but here is very disaster, and we have the group that is completely fine with slavery. They say, okay, this is fine for me. I even I'm comfortable with this. I mean, I'm okay with that. And for me, it's very hard sometimes to communicate with these people, especially an emotional level. That sometimes I get angry, or people not understand me, or have some tension I leave after the conversations with people, because we're speaking these ideas, we usually not speak. We kind of challenge them in that, because before people not challenge them in that question. So what your take on that?
Yeah, it's called cognitive dissonance, right? Being confronted with new information that your previous information is at conflict with. It's like, I don't want to face this question because it goes against what I currently believe. And that word believe is really important because a lot of people believe in a lot of things nowadays, but don't really know it. For example, they believe in a politician will do this one thing for them. They believe God will save them. They believe, this food will make them healthy. Every day we go by certain beliefs, and to some extent we have to, right? To move on, to move forward. But if we live our lives more by knowledge, which is different from belief, then we can attain a bit more clarity and direction as to what we should do in our life. So that way, we're not just hoping and praying all the time, but we're actually putting into action. We know there's requirements. We know that there's certain things that can be done if we do certain things, which can be done. It's all about the opportunity and if we embrace that. And for while we are still able to embrace that opportunity, we should. And what I mean by that is while we still have some freedoms, we need to promote freedom because until, slavery becomes more of the current day condition, we don't want that to be the wake-up call for people because the ultimate slavery is death. And that's what we see with democide. That's what we see with every government in history is mass amounts of death. I mean, it's the number one cause of unnatural death. And people do not want to look at that, right? That, for example, is very confrontational. So you don't have to start there. You don't have to start there when it comes to action. And you mentioned a lot of good points, you know, even like the books and why I have it simply worded. It's for that reason. I have it question and answer format for that reason, because I think questions is the most powerful way to communicate with people these new ideas. So I would use the book as a means to bridge the idea, say, this is the slavery of the past and this is the slavery of the present. But have the individual read that book, and then you talk to them after, and you have more of a conversation about it, right? Because that can be a conversation starter. A lot of materials can be a conversation starter, but the individual who's talking to you, or the individual who takes that book, or the individual who wants to learn, has to have that incentive within themselves. They have to have some sort of care. If they don't have that underlying motive of care, then nothing will happen. Because they need to have some sort of faith, care into the idea that they want to be free.
So
if they don't see value in that, then they're never going to want it. So that's first most.
The question is what to do with this situation that they don't have care with these people around us. We can do something about
how
it.
To make them
how
care?
We can approach that. We cannot make them care, exactly. We cannot make it. We cannot make these decisions.
Yeah.
So the point is what we really can do for them. That's better for all, you know. For example, we have in our in the families and the friends, you know, all these areas, we have people like this.
Show them, show them.
Yes,
show them freedom in action. You don't have to tell them. You can show them freedom in action. Your energy, your presence, your very being, and there's movements, not just my own, around the world that are affecting change now and doing things that when other people see it in action, they are immediately
you
inspired.
You mean inspiration? Yes, inspiration.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's very important. And so if you want to carry a message into the world, there's no better way than to be, to walk the talk yourself, right? Like,
okay,
oh,
yeah.
Well, I want to promote this healthy diet. Well, what's better way to promote that than be on that diet yourself and show why it's so healthy to everyone else, right? The same thing with this. If you have truth that is so apparently so truthful and everybody apparently needs to know it, then prove that it's actually truthful. Prove that it's actually helpful. And through our personal experiences, and you may have talked to people with shadow work, and a lot of them had personal work that they've gone through, we can see that natural law and these concepts we talk about, principles and understanding morality and having knowledge to guide our actions, is a very powerful tool. And it helps us escape the darkest corners of our lives. That right there is personal experience that plays a huge toll on public opinion, because people want other people. They, in today's world, we are detached from nature. I say nature is the answer because we have technology and all these things around us, and these governments that are man-made, the medicines are man-made, the foods are man-made, all this stuff. And so when we have a sense of animals and we talk to animals and they are comforting us and they help us feel better, or we talk to a human who's very down to earth and really likes to talk to us and has a good spirit, that we attract to. If you are seeking it. If you, however, are just living your life as an order follower and don't care about any of it, then yes, you're not going to care about it at all. And am I going to get you to care about it? No, you have to seek it out for yourself. And sorry, it's not my fault if you don't want to. Like I will do my best to promote the truth, but you have to still walk the path. I'm not holding you down by gunpoint saying you have to follow what I'm saying, unlike the government. But they just don't get the fact that very matter
is
I'm trying
can
to end.
really can get, make health a healthy relationship with these people that they not have any morality, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what another point I want to say that another factor here is lack of self-respect, because people who respect themselves and love themselves, they will not obey to authority and you know, and what they do is just to make the self-respect down and down, and to disconnect that from our spirit and our higher consciousness, higher awareness. And through this media and all these distractions we have, you know, with this technology, as you say. So,
Yeah, and it's, again, I'm not like anti-technology or
anti-stuff
that is man-made.
Yeah,
I'm against the bombardment to the point where people don't understand themselves, like you said in the very beginning.
Exactly.
If we don't understand ourselves, then we're going to lose ourselves over time, especially if we're constantly bombarding ourselves with other things and we lose a sense of empathy, or we lose a sense of what made us human to begin with. Right, those very basic fundamentals is all we're talking about. We're not saying anything complex. We're not adding anything new into existence. All we're saying is look at what already exists. See, government constantly wants to impose people's will on other people's will and force it through the gun. I'm not. I'm sharing my knowledge. You don't have to listen to me.
Yes,
But that's
exactly.
the thing. We just want a world where people are just sharing knowledge and they're not being forced to do something against their will. That's it. So you don't have to listen to me, but you shouldn't have to listen to the politicians either. If this is an equal playing field, if this is the golden rule and treat others the way you want to be treated, if this was truly a fair world, I would be able to tax the politicians, but I'm not able to do that,
Yes.
right? And they'd live by a totally different degree of morality. If I tried stealing something from somebody, I'd be called a thief and I'd be called a criminal and everybody would shut me down. But if they did it and through taxation and writing a fancy piece of paper, all of a sudden it's actually not just normalized, but it's moral, the complete opposite. So they twist the nature of morality and the nature of human behavior, the nature of our senses, our very being, to say, oh, this is wrong, and everybody knows it's wrong, because they change the language, they change the way things are done, and they make everybody think that government is this natural thing that should exist, and that these people with titles and badges and uniforms are all natural, when clearly it isn't, because none of that stuff has ever existed for a long time. You can say government has existed for thousands of years, so has slavery. Doesn't change the nature of existence. Those systems always rise and fall and result in mass problems, but yet we still never seem to learn from them.
It's
The
just
fact that
changed
we
the form
probably
of that. It's just changed the form, but the idea of the government, of authority, is the same all the human history. And
yeah.
And the fo older followers, and they're responsible for that. Murderers and all this, violence from that organization. They call it government, that group of people that everyone support, that they have more rights than others, but is no. And it's very hard to explain this to people, and your work is help to do this, is really helped me personally to make it more softer, more flexible, and more easy to explain.
So
and
this, before you continue, kind of to answer your question from before, because I don't want to miss it.
Okay.
There's individual action and there's collective action, right? So the individual action is like understanding for ourselves, what is statism? What is order following? Should we be following orders or should we be following our conscience, right? And then the collective action is, well, once enough people understand that at an individual level, all those individuals come together and say at once, we're not going to put up with this. And that sets a demonstration to the world, and the media catches on and people see that their own government is against their own people, which is never their own. And if those people truly were in control of their own government, then they can leave anytime they want to. They are the ones who give their consent, are they not? Well, we don't. When we born into this world, into our government, we don't give our consent to the government. So when people just wake up to that simple fact of the matter is that they did not give consent. They don't consent to their money being taken. They don't want perhaps any money being taken because that's theft by its nature. Then people will simply leave the system once enough people understand it and they feel the courage enough to say, well, we can do that. That would need a strong community or enough people to say, this is, we're done with this. This is enough, time. It's enough. Like after a while of tyranny, some people might actually just start disobeying, and then other people may join them. That might just happen naturally, with or without great organization. You froze, am I in?
Yes.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
I want to explain more about natural morality, and I know you not like the term objective morality. I have something in that word that is so complicated, people in philosophical debates, and I noticed that. And maybe I will change my strategy to explain people about morality and how it's really from more simple perspective. And you're right in that point that morality is according to nature of the self, because animals, they have their own nature, we have our nature as a human being, because we have the capacity of reason. But the question is, these standards of morality, whatever you have these standards or you know have, Okay, you have the standards as a human being. The question is other beings, example more higher beings, higher awareness beings, if they have the same standards of morality. Because from my perspective is or you have or whatever you know have these standards as a conscience aware human being that can recognize between right and wrong. So how you explain that?
Yeah, so you're right. The nature of rights stem from the nature of human beings, or the being of the individual, right? So that's where we get this whole concept of rights. And if you look at any historical perspective, that's where they look at the term rights is they're basically forms of ownership, forms of property. All rights are property rights, you know, if they're yours, if they're natural rights, if they belong with you. And so, you can look at the reason, right? Which I think is debatable to some extent, because you can argue that animals can reason and, you know, humans can just reason more, or it doesn't matter. To me, I think we should share empathy for all beings, right? I don't think it really matters. I mean, if we really care about our world, we should probably care about everything in nature, but that's it. Don't just leave the animals in the equation. Let's put the plants, let's put ourselves, let's put, you know, the pregnant women and the children and all this stuff that
Me
is
as a
so
human
important
being
for
have
life.
emotions, compassion for animals.
Right.
Me as
For
a, I
everything.
live with animals and I know that. And because of that, we'll speak more about little diet
Right.
about veganism and all the stuff later. But
And me
anyways,
too.
yeah.
I agree. I think
So
having
I
empathy for
really,
animals,
yes, I
yeah.
really feel higher compassion. I think it's a human nature. Okay. But still, as you say, we need eat meat. So, also my contradiction was because I study ancient traditions and ancient mysteries that they, all of them, they was eat meaters. They was hunters, and as you see behind me, the runes is explain everything. This is the Germanic ancient tribes that the first rune is the Fehu rune, is the cattle. They trade in cattle. They trade in that because they use it for many stuff. So I say if they were so connected to nature and they were so moral, how is can be that they not recognize that eat animals is not moral or you know is not something not
Well, because
crime.
they understood how integral it was to have animals within their life, and they looked at it in a regenerative way. Because again, if you don't just include animals into the equation and you add in all of nature, including the plants, then you recognize that you have to look at the harm being done overall. Because what this is the reality, Stephen. This is a gray area. And some people may even put it in the area of vices when it comes to diet, because it's a little complicated. You can do potential harm to yourself, and really it's an individual choice. So again, I can't like say, well, this is the diet you should do. Again, no one's forcing you by gunpoint. This is ultimately your personal choice. That being said, you may say, well, you're getting rid of the choice of the animal and you're enslaving the animal by having them. But then that means you can't have any pets either. Okay. So if you have any pets, that's also enslavement, it, by the same definition that you would say for veganism. And slavery sounds just as bad as death to me. Again, you know, slavery, kind of the worst form of slavery is death. And so, you know, murder in the case of you're being killed. But I think, you know, it is a complicated scenario, and why I made a whole 1 hour, 30-minute script video about it. Because if I talk about it a little bit, I feel like a bunch of vegans may jump at me and be like, well, here's this and this and that. And they will go off on a tangent. And I respect their passion. But yes, you're right. Our ancestors cared for all of nature. And they didn't know understand all of nature. Of course not. No, not even ourselves
Another
understand all
point,
of
very
nature.
important, not ignore your instincts. And
Exactly.
I study the animal psychology, the dog psychology exactly. That you need to be instinctual with them. You need to understand they live in the moment. They're not like human beings. They recognize the past and future and thinking about some. They don't understand that they live now. They do their thing in the nature, you know. And
Yeah.
you need to be emotional with them because they don't understand that. They just don't understand that. They don't understand what you're thinking. They follow leader that very assertive and very balanced. In nature, you even observe it in the pack of dogs that they're leading by someone who balance. If someone in balance, they're not leading by him. They not follow him, you
Yeah.
know.
And
So.
regenerative agriculture provides the scenario where the animals are working with the plants, and the plants are working with the animals, and the animals are working with the humans, and the plants are working with the humans, and everybody sort of works together. And I like that idea of regenerative agriculture because ultimately what's happening then is you're saving not just the plants, but you're saving the animals because everything is working together in a holistic balance. Everything is in its time and place. The animals are living their best life. We're living our best life. The plants are living their best life because they're getting animal fertilizer and we're helping the plants because of the animals, and the animals are helping the plants because of the humans, and everything works together. You see what I mean? So it's a very unique dynamic. And so you can take the farming route, you can take the nutrition route, and you can look at the fact there's over 15, 16 different nutrients you can't get from plants at all. Vegans will make excuses and say, well, you can convert it in the body, but still you're not getting enough, not in bioavailable form. You're still fiber blocking it. There's still anti-nutrients. There's still so many other factors. And then there's the environment and the environmental effects. And then can you grow it? Is it local? Is the plant actually natural to begin with? How long has that plant existed? Carrots, for example, man-made. Broccoli, kale, never even touched by our ancestors, right? We find out there's oxalates in all of it. It's actually causing kidney stones and all sorts of things. And then people in the health field are saying this is a superfood. And meanwhile, there's other people who are like, wait, this is actually kind of dangerous. Got to be careful. Oh, turmeric. Oh, might kill some things. Garlic, too strong. And they get a little picky. Now, I'm not saying all those things are bad and you should stay away from them, but we got to be careful with plants just as much as we should be careful with animals. We should be careful with everything.
Yes, deadly plants also.
All I want is a humankind that is conscious, that cares about their actions done to all people and all things, all living things, which includes animals, all plants, and all human beings, right?
And
Why limit to
knowledge,
just
yes.
sentience?
And knowledge give you knowledge what is harming, what is not harming to you, what is dangerous for you, what is can harm you, that is, you feel a pain, you know?
Same thing with
So,
health, right? I mean, if you feel pain from going
yeah.
on a certain
So you
diet,
say
then it's.
also, yes, also interesting point that we need to have any, if we want to eat, to conceive something inside the body, we need to harm somehow the system. Anyways, the plants, you say, also feel that, and animals feel the pain. And we need to reduce how much more the pain, the harm, you know? This is what you say, this is what I understand.
Well, take for example, this is how life sort of works. You can
Yes.
say it's a cycle, but everything is we're taking, right? All the time we're taking. When I put my foot down on the ground, I'm taking, the step, right? We say we're taking a step. When I take an action, I'm taking an action. Isn't that interesting? Because I'm giving something, but I'm also taking. Isn't it interesting? We use the word take to describe our actions. So I'm getting pretty bright here from the sun. But do you
You're very
understand the point?
shiny.
Oh, holy. But every time we're taking an action, we have to question, are we giving, and what are we taking? So
Yes,
it's just a
exactly.
question of time and place because.
Exchange of energy. We need to exchange energy. I mean, we need to voluntary exchange. I give you something and you give me something instead, you know.
Yes.
It cannot be one side only taking. It can be parasitic. You know, this can be parasitic relationship. That
So take,
one,
for example, right, in
yeah.
natural law, we talk about how the number one thing is do not steal, right? That's the number one
Yeah.
spiritual law, the important part of looking at the golden rule, looking at right versus wrong and morality is do not steal. Well, what's the opposite of that? Give. So do give. But how do you give without first taking first? So this is the question, right? There has to be some point where you take, but you don't steal. And that's the question. And if the animals like the humans and the humans like the animals and the plants like the animals and the plants like the humans, I think that's a society that is one generally likened. And if you look at, like you said, a lot of the ancient texts, I mean, there's so many writings about the Garden of Eden, and there was honey dripping off the leaves and the trees, and there's animals roaming around, and it's really cool. And some people will make the case and say, well, we're supposed to eat plants. That was like our beginning foundation. But also, I don't think that's the case. From what history I've seen, meat eating has been around for over 300,000 years, which is like the beginning of humankind. People think slavery has existed for 300,000 years. No, it hasn't. According to history, it only existed for about 6,000 years. That's it. Big difference between meat eating, which is actually pretty darn natural, and slavery, which is really darn unnatural. One results always in death, and the other one actually is resulting in health. Like, what's going on? We have keto and paleo diets nowadays that are curing people of cancer and all this stuff, and we're just going to ignore that and say, like, we shouldn't look at that. Meanwhile, veganism and vegetarianism was promoted in the 80s, margarine as a replacement for butter, and it was causing heart attacks and trans fats. And then the vegetable oils, which are not vegetables, by the way, they're a bunch of legumes, and they're a bunch of omega-6 acids that are inflammatory and causing all sorts of issues, and we're finding that out now, and now everybody's going back to animal products. It's like, hello, what's going on? So what happened was, after the Great Depression too, you saw there was a lot of people who were hungry and they didn't have any food. So we started mass producing corn, soy, breads and grains, and these things are clearly man-made bread. I mean, you're basically taking a bunch of sludge material of grain and together and making it. Bread, even according to ancient times, was called meat, and meat eat, standing for I'm eating, and all sorts of things. If you look up the definition of meat and etymology, you get nourishment. You look up nutrient, you get nourishment. If you look up health, you get whole. And you look up doctor, it's supposed to be teacher. All these things relate is to understanding the holistic view of life. And that's what law is too, natural law. Is looking at everything that consists of everything, the universal timeless. So you'll find a common theme, but everybody, whether you're looking at law or health, is all trying to find nature. That's all what they're trying to do. They're all trying to understand nature. I mean, it's quite necessary for our existence, because if we don't abide to nature, we're going to lose our nature. So if we don't use our nature, we'll lose it as well. And that's why we have to use our instincts, like you said, not just our high order thinking. If it's been with us, I say that I have an analogy for this. I said, you can stop running with the sheep, right? Because you're conscious, but the next sheep that comes your way may run you over if you don't have your instincts. So you need to have your instincts and your conscience enough to say, I'm not going to follow the sheep off the cliff, but I'm also not going to get ran over by the sheep that come my way to jump off the cliff. So you need both the instincts and the conscience, because they work together. They're both part of the human being. If somebody's going to attack me and I need to have self-defense, which we consider a left brain sort of weird scenario, because we always say do no violence, but yet we say this is violence is okay in this scenario, self-defense. Well, it's because we're using our instincts,
Yes,
right? And
these
our
instincts,
instincts,
yes, of course.
because we should be able to self-defend. Every animal in nature will defend itself. They're not just going to sit back and take the pain. A lot of humans may higher consciously, and this is why there were pacifists in the past, and I respect them too. They would say, oh, well, it's I should just take the pain and let it happen, because if
Also,
I continue,
desires
it'll
there,
become
the
worse.
willpower in this area of the body, and
Right.
this unconscious mind, all this resources, basic resources, and we have the higher mind that recognize the higher principles and connection to the infinity. And I want to ask you another question. What do you think about the problem of self-identification by some, people identify by some things they are not, by titles, and they are disconnected from themselves. And when you disconnected from yourself, you start to be in illusions, and you make wrong decisions and wrong making. And in the end, we only create chaos in our lives. And I think this is a big issue in our society that I see people, they are identified, fails identified. They're not identified by someone infinite spirit that have an experience in human body in 3D world,
Yeah.
and
So yeah, I'm not a fan of identities. Absolutely not. And the whole idea of image and ego, not a fan, right? But I think a lot of us try to fit into different identities and images, perhaps because we feel some sort of insecurity within ourselves, or because we want to fit in and be a part of some sort of a group. And it makes us feel some sort of sense of safety and security. So to say, oh, I'm right wing, oh, I'm left wing in the case of American politics, right? And I know that that also applies in other places in the world where it's like, oh, I'm part of this group, so it makes me feel like I belong. And there's, and that sense of belonging is good because, again, going back to our natural roots, we used to be in tribes, we used to have families. And what you don't see nowadays is enough people being in families or having their tribe or their sense of people that they like to be around. And so they look around, they go online, they go on dating apps, they do all these things. And some of it is questionable, and other things it's like, okay, well, what are you getting yourself involved with? Because it's much different from back then, you know, where we explore and we build adventures together, and we make memories in real life, face to face interaction, feeling our senses, totally different from nowadays where people can just type their whole life away on a computer and somehow be convinced that the person that they're talking to is actually a human being when it may not be. And the person that they're talking to may actually feel a certain way when they may not be. And they don't know because they're not there in person. Another example of the illusion of nature, right? You fall for the illusion and you think, oh, well, this person is real. Oh, this person looks like this. Oh, this person thinks like this. Just because of these words, or just because of this thing online, you don't know that. I put out a video recently. I'm like, you don't know if I'm real. You have no clue. And that's the thing, is to say that real life is more important, and you shouldn't feel ashamed of yourself. And anybody out there who's like, I haven't produced enough content and I haven't done enough, don't put yourself down. You know, just because I'm putting out some stuff does not mean you have to, but you have to be doing something if you think something's important, right? If you have a more obligation to share knowledge that other people do not have. So, yeah, identity is an issue because it causes a lot of other superstitions and a lot of other problems that also tie into the unnatural, right? Which is the idea of creating illusions. And you simply are you. You're just a human being, you're yourself. And anytime you say you're something else that someone else created, well, then you got to be careful. So when I say I'm an abolitionist, usually I'm referring to the action of abolishing. I just basically, when I say I'm abolitionist, I'm like, Corey Angelot, abolitionist. Corey Angelot, I want to abolish slavery. That's basically what it means. Because it doesn't refer to an ideology, in my view. Now, some people might take that as an ideology and say, well, you know, the act of abolishing, we have to get rid of what doesn't belong over time. You know, whatever. Or the same way you may call yourself an integrative nutrition health coach, which is another title I have that I can use if I want to, right? It's kind of like the opposite of abolitionism, because instead of getting rid of something, you're adding something in, because the word integrate means to bring together. So if I call myself integrative, now it's like Corey Angelot likes to bring things together instead of Corey Angelot wants to end slavery. But, you know, the same point is like, I'm still me. And at the end of the day, whenever you add on to it, it's like saying anarcho-capitalism, anarcho-communism, anarcho-blah, blah, blah. If it's still anarcho, then hopefully the roots would stay still. And what we find is that when people add those string attachments to that word, you get a bunch of different people from a bunch of different backgrounds, right? There'll be libertarians I meet too. And they're like, yeah, I'm libertarian. Meanwhile, they have like a total different mindset compared to the next libertarian that I meet. I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's cool that you guys can get together, but also it's like you're using the same term and you're totally two different people. Why not just refer to yourself as human beings? All you're doing is dividing yourself with the left and the right and putting yourself into a group of people. And if they want to do that, again, it's their own personal choice, but it alienates their own unique ability. I chose the word abolitionist because I found it through my own research and found it through my own exploration. I encourage people to do the same thing with their own titles. You know, don't just use it because I'm using it. Don't just use the movement because I created it or what have you. You utilize what you shall utilize accordingly to your environment and accordingly to the people you meet. And that's why when it comes to you saying, like, what advice do you have for meeting new
Do in
people or
your unique
action?
way. Do it in
Yes.
your unique way because we everyone unique. Yeah.
You have to, yes, by our nature, and you have to listen into every new person that you talk to when it comes to sharing this knowledge, because everybody's different and everybody's got a different perspective and everybody's coming at this from a different angle of experience. But we all live in the same reality. So that's where the knowledge is that needs to be shared, is look around us. This is something we all share. But inside, individually, we're all different. And that is actually the reason why there shouldn't be any rulers over anyone else. Because, you know, we're not trying to create a world where everyone's the same, where everyone has to obey to the same rules and everybody has to obey to the same, you know, laws and codes of conduct. No, the laws and codes of conduct are nature itself because we can't escape that. That's our bound reality. It's not something that we can ever escape. It's always here, timeless, right? But man, well, it's all just based on opinion. It's all not timeless. It's not universal. So it's a big difference. It's one is creating a dystopia and one is already naturally a utopia. And so when we say we want to create anarchy, some people will say, well, that's utopian. It is actually, but that's because nature is the utopia naturally. It's the closest thing you can get to a utopia because it's reality. See, reality though is not like all peaches and sunshines and unicorns or whatever either though. It's hardcore truth, you know. It's like if something wrong goes on, you have to take responsibility, you have to step in and own up to your actions, own up to your ownership. And so it's reality, which is the closest thing to a utopia per se, is just that. It's a hard, harsh reality, but it's way better than being under a system where you're peacefully enslaved, as Thomas Jefferson would say, instead of dangerous freedom. You know, you don't want peaceful slavery because freedom is ultimately the highest goal, the highest aim. Mark Pastor did a video on this too. Said that freedom is more important than life and property because without freedom, you don't have life. And without freedom, you don't have property because you can't pursue it. You can't pursue the pursuit of happiness, we say. Well, what is the pursuit of happiness if you can't be happy because you can't live your life? You can't do what you want to do. You can't produce what you want to produce. You can't have your own business because the government is constantly taxing you. You know, you can't gain enough money because a third of your income is being taxed and there's restrictions everywhere
I
you go.
think
You
they
can't
show
even.
it in the last 2 years is exactly they show the truth in the eyes of the people already.
Yeah, and if people don't see it, they're just closing their own eyes. They're closing their own eyes, and the reason why is because they don't have enough people to help their eyes be opened, right? They need somebody who can
The
just be there
question, what we
to
can
keep
do
their eyes
about
open.
this? The question.
Your presence, because that's it. It'll keep their eyes open. Think about it, right? Are you likely to fall asleep if you're alone, or if you got other people with you? You're likely to stay up because you got their presence with you. You're like, yeah, I want to hang out. I want to do things. But if you're alone and you are by yourself, you're gonna just fall asleep. You're gonna do your own thing, and then you might feel lonely. You might have all sorts of other things. That's what we have in today's world. I'm not saying that we all need to just necessarily just become a social bunch of human beings, because I also agree with Tesla, Nikola Tesla. You know, he was like an anti-social person
Just
because
be present. Just be
that.
present. What is this? What do you mean? Just be
Yes,
a
what
pre.
I'm saying is be there for people when they want, when they need it, and a lot of people need it. Today's world, we have depression and all these mental problems because people need each other and they're not there for each other because everybody's too busy. They're doing their work or they are distracted. They're watching television or they're watching whatever. Well, just if you get off of that, that's the solution.
The sad thing that people are more interested in that than the human rights, you know. This is the problem here, and I really want to ask you really what we can how we can end slavery in human authority as we see, and how we can disobey taxation, how we can communicate these ideas with especially order followers, because here we have a very, very strong problem of order following. And the question is very, very intense conversation with these people, probably, you know, because of their not understanding. Because, you know, I was in this age, I was indoctrinated the same way.
Objective morality, when it's used commonly, usually refers to a superstition or a religious belief. When people usually think of religion as their first resort, because religions first came up with this idea like it's all based on God and God's law and dictates what is right and wrong. And so people may just have pure faith. And I want people to base their morality on science, based on what they can observe and understand in their lives. So morality, in my view, is a science. And a lot of people in philosophy and science may say that's not the case. But as time moves on, we're actually proving it is the case, and that Aristotle and a lot of the original philosophers were correct when they said there's a purpose within the universe and that tells us what we should do, and that everything is based upon our nature. You know, we talked about rights being based on nature. Well, right and wrong is how we understand our rights. So we understand what is right to do and what is not to do. That is based on our nature. And I think the perfect quote that sums up natural morality is that quote that I use from Frederick Douglass, where he says, "I can only breathe for me, you can only breathe for you." Now, when he says that, and of course he goes on and mentions other things, when he says that, he's saying that by truth, by reality, I can only do that for myself and you can only do that for yourself. And therefore, you can't claim to breathe for me and I can't claim to breathe for you. He used that as a means to say, well, he's not a slave to anybody because he owns himself. And that basic sense of ownership stems from what? The fact of your nature. So morality stems from the fact of your nature. I like to just say then that a right action is that which does not violate nature. And a wrong action does violate nature. Right. So in to maybe even change it further, a right action is what supports or gives to the natural, and a wrong action is what disregards or ignores the natural. So it's an interesting dynamic, which I will explore further in my future work. So stay tuned for that. But natural morality is simply pointing to our nature rather than some belief or superstition or religious ideology. So instead of looking at religion or some book for that knowledge of morality, you can look at your nature. And that's it. So your conscience, the fact you have empathy, those are natural powers that you have, or your reason, may you say. Those are natural powers that you have within yourself. Recognizing that each individual has that for themselves means that they must exercise that for themselves. So that's a capacity of using their nature. You know, and so when we use the word objective, it's essentially the same thing as saying natural.
Yes, it's
but for
different,
me,
different words, but it's the same understanding.
Yes.
But people, hard for them to understand that in that state of mind they are.
So
that's what you mean.
Really, when you say natural morality or natural anything, what you're really saying is just real anything or the healthy anything. So it essentially is just morality. You can just say morality. So that's why in conversations, I'll say, well, it's important we look at morality, not just legality. It's important we look at morality, not just politics. I'm not saying let's look at objective or natural, because none of that matters. If you're looking at morality, you're looking at both natural and objective already. Okay, because those things are not determined by purely the whims of people in law and man's law. They're determined by our understanding of the universe and how things operate, okay? Because that's how we first get them in the first place. Like,
you know,
what is wrong?
If you will make harm for someone, you know, you will not have good relationship with him. You will not, cannot ask from him something after, you know? It will not make something good in the
yes,
in the
and,
result,
and of course,
the result.
Of course, we have to filter things out through our perception, but just because we take things in through our perception does not make everything subjective, because what we're trying to do as subjective beings is interpret the objective world. So our goal is to have that objective and not just be secluded to the subjective, because then we become the subjects, the slaves, by following the subjective. And we have an objective by following the objective, which is nature, because only nature is objective because it's universal and timeless and eternal, right? So that is the definition of objective. The fact that it's not man-made. Well, gosh, well, what is not man-made? Well, nature is the most obvious scenario. So natural morality is the same thing. It just, for me, it emphasizes more the importance. And really what it comes down to is natural authority. So you replace the word objective morality with natural authority, and it just makes perfect sense, because now you're getting, you know where you're getting your answers from. It's essentially saying nature is the answer. You know where your morality is coming from. You're not just saying it's based on man's law and based on man's opinion purely.
But it's
you're
derived
saying,
from objective source. This is what you mean.
Yes, it's based on effects.
That this from
based on
nature.
Effects and actions and things that matter, right? Because that's what matters, is the effects and the actions, what actually gets manifested into the world. And we see that it has repeatable effects. If I touch a hot stove, if I jump off a cliff, I mean, these things have effects that we can't ignore. If we choose to ignore that, that's on our fault. And we choose to basically ignore what would happen to our nature. And so we don't understand the nature of reality. And therefore, we don't understand morality, because morality is all based on knowing what is natural for us to do. Is it natural for us to jump off a cliff? No, it isn't. Not natural because it's not supportive. It's not giving to the natural, like I said. It's not naturalizing, as I would say. Now, it would be denaturing because, well, I was ignorant. I did not know, or I completely disregarded and say, well, yeah, it'll be fine. It won't hurt me. So it's actually I'm denaturing my own being because I did not understand nature. Because nature depends on knowledge. Otherwise, it is no nature. So when people say the appeal to nature is a fallacy in philosophy, they basically say that you can't say that what is natural is what is good. And I'm saying that's wrong. You can say what is natural is what is good, but you have to know what nature is. So I say nature is good insofar as it is known. Because if you don't know what nature is, then you can't make any appeal to begin with. You don't understand your reality to understand what is good and what is bad, which both consists in nature. The difference is what is natural for you to do is different from what is natural to exist in the first place, right? It's natural for poisons to exist all over nature. It's not natural for me to touch that poison because it's not going to help me. It's not natural for me, my being, my very being to be there and touch that poison all the time. It's not natural for me to do that because I know so because of my knowledge. Now, is it natural to touch that poison and learn that I shouldn't do it?
You
Yeah,
see it
that,
as
but
bad or good, this is your perception, but from here you understand from different perspective that you can evolve, you can know this has hurt me, I don't want to do it again, you know?
right.
Like this we learn, but we can say that knowledge is also objective if we say that way, like,
Yes, if
have
we compare
things that
versus
we
belief.
know this is a statement that is exist, that is, you know?
Yeah, like if we compare knowledge versus belief, belief would be subjective because it's based on the individual and what they think is reality, but they don't know if it is reality. And is implies that it's naturally supposed to be that or that it objectively is. So, the terms we use, and people do it all the time. So people who say like, oh, there's no objective morality. Well, do you ever use the word natural? Do you ever use the word healthy? Do you ever use the word right? Do you ever? And I guarantee you, everybody uses those terms because to some extent, they have to discern within their life knowledge and determine what is right and wrong for them to do. They're not going to jump off a cliff because they think it's going to be right for them. No, they know it's wrong, and so they're not going to do it. So you can apply that logic to nearly anything. If you understand that governments keep rising and falling is causing chaos over and over again, that if everybody's complacent and doesn't do anything, that the world's just going to get worse and worse all the time, every time in history, then you understand the nature of behavior and how reality works, is that people need to not be order followers. They can't be irresponsible. They can't give away their ownership. Right. So nature's telling us its lessons through its effects. And how do we show ourselves our presence? If you wanted to make a presence in this
We
world,
have our
how do you
nature as
prove it?
individuals, or we have nature as a human race? This is the another question I would ask.
Yes, well,
What do you
right.
mean
So
about
there's the
that?
nature of the world, there's the nature of ourselves, there's the nature of all of us together, may you say. I think grouping us all together as one nature can be a little difficult
I mean, you say
compared
morality
to,
is according to your nature, right?
yeah.
But it means your nature, my nature, or our species nature? It's individual nature, or according to the species nature, you know, because we have the ability of reason.
Right. Well,
That's
that
what I
you're
mean.
referring to, you're saying we, you're already implying that it's m many different individuals, right?
Yes, it's a
But
group of race, it's a human race example.
it doesn't guarantee that people are going to use it just because they have it, right? So that's why I say use your nature or lose it, because there's many people who have the ability to reason or have the ability to have right and wrong. The capacity doesn't mean they're actually going to use it. There's many people who can understand natural law,
I mean,
but there's
if
many
someone
people
kills
who are
someone,
not
you
going to
cannot
want
say
to.
it's your nature. This is what I mean. If someone murders someone, you cannot say this is his nature or whatever, he's
Right.
psychopath or something like that.
Well,
I know that they have
he.
psychopaths that born psychopaths, but it's very, very low percentage, you know, because
No
out
one's
of
born into
reasons,
anything.
anyways.
That's the thing, right? Like everybody, we're living consequences, right? We're not even living right and wrong. We're living consequences. From there, we perceive as right and wrong, and we understand as the consequences unravel. So, nature just exists too. Nature is not inherently good or bad. It depends on how our upbringing is that determines what our nature is going to be. So people make this scenario, right, in psychology, nature versus nurture. And they say, well, these are two separate things and they're at conflict with each other. No, they're actually together. They work together. So you have genes, and those genes, genetics, which is your code essentially, has to be supported by the food you eat, by the things you do. And those genetics become changed after you
yes, I
nurture
know.
Them. So now you create a new nature. So everything you do, you're creating new natures, but you're nurturing for a new nature, then nurturing for another new nature. So new natures are always being formed. That's the nature of change, right? So everywhere, there's always change occurring. So when it comes to psychopaths, you can argue that, yeah, some of their natures may be changed to make them want to be a psychopath, to make them think that it is necessary, natural for them to do. Does it mean it actually is in reality? Does it mean that they're supposed to be
we
that
don't
way
know that. We
naturally?
don't know that. You don't know that. Me don't know that. It's exactly right. I mean,
well,
we cannot know for 100% if it's for primary or it's born like this, natural or. Or is it from the indoctrination process that he crosses in their life, you know, that he grow to be psychopath?
The fact
because
that you're saying or, though, implies that you understand time and place. The fact that you basically understand that people can become psychopaths under different circumstances, or that it's not all one and the same, and that we cannot just generalize. So right there, you're saying we need to look deeper at to what's going on. So that's essentially what you're implying. And I think that's good, because like we can't generalize and say all the psychopaths are acting this way. Like we can say all there's a lot of people who seek power, and we can say they're psychopaths because they're going to bring people to war for their own benefit, and they're not going to care about those people losing their lives, right? We can call those people psychopaths, but there might be other psychopaths who don't care about
don't
political
know they
power.
are psychopaths also.
Yeah,
I also don't know
that's
they are
possible.
psychopaths. Yeah,
sociopaths too,
and
and
so
different types.
Unfortunately, I meet like this people like this in person. You know, exist people. They don't know they are psychopaths, but they are.
Yeah, it's a mentality, right? Obviously, you'd have to diagnose it and go deeper. That's the whole point of health, right? And anything that we look deeper into, you have to look at the whole picture. And I'm not there to address one individual. I don't know who I'm looking at here, so it is hard to generalize.
But
the
circumstances that he psychopath is not changed the reality, the nature of
right.
morality. I mean,
the effects of their actions remain
yes,
the
the
same
same, yes,
across
the
the
same.
board. So whether it's done by this psychopath or that psychopath, if
Yeah.
they're taking the same action, that action remains the same, right? Doesn't matter what the intent was, the action is objective. It has consequences. If they're both putting their hand on the hot stove, they're both going to get burnt. Even if they both have totally different intents, totally different mindsets, it's just the way the action is. So there is, you know, underlying fabrics to everything we do. So I can argue and say, well, yeah, that person's a psychopath, but are they a psychopath by nature? Are they naturally a psychopath? No, they probably got there somehow. They probably, you know, became that way, and there's certain processes in different ways, right? Now, again, like, you know, of course, maybe generalizations or what have you, but it's looking at the true nature of things or trying to figure out what's going on. So that is what we're doing when we're saying, well, what is the reality of the world, rather than all past all the illusions? If we were to say, well, let's get past all the things that are keeping people's minds distracted, we're trying to say, well, let's get deeper into what our natural reality is. That's what we're doing. And it gets harder because now we have virtual reality. Now we have technology and things look real. So soon we're going to hit the point where we don't even know what's real anymore. And that's what happens with relationships. And like I mentioned earlier, with people typing online, all this stuff is they actually get a simulation or feel that it might be somewhat real, but it's not really as real as it can be. So when people eat certain foods as well, it's like, oh, well, this food was, you know, I grew it in my own backyard. It must be natural. Well, is it still the most natural? Just because it's more natural than this food, does that make it the most natural? No, maybe not, because that has not always existed either, right? So you can compare and say, well, McDonald's and all this fast food, this is garbage. This is really unnatural. And you say, well, this I grew from my garden. It's more natural. You're right. But is it the most natural? Is there something that could be even better than that? Possibly. And under what circumstance, right? Everybody's different. Everybody reacts to different foods. What's natural for you at your own circumstance? But that's all understanding objective consequences and actions. So either way, you know, although we are each individuals, all unique of our own, we all still are individuals. We still are all the human species. So regardless of all the subjectivity within, there's still an objectivity throughout. And that's the whole idea of holistic health and the whole idea of a holistic, world in the first place. Is everything is integral. And so when people mention anything or make a case for anything, they actually have validity. It's just a matter of perspective. So I can say communism can be done properly. I can say socialism could be done properly. I can say all these different isms have their time and place. It's just a matter of knowing when and where and how it's done, but the actions still remain the same, like we mentioned before, right? So it's just a matter of perspective. And that's why people find all sorts of justifications to say, well, this system will work, well, this person will work. And because they can find a justification, doesn't mean it's actually, part of reality.
Yes, I try to explain to people that you believe to people that you don't know them. You don't know what they are doing. They are not for your interests. They not care about you, and you believe in them in blind eyes, like a god, or just follow what they say. And yeah, they think that any solution we can find in economy or politics or stuff like this, and. I hear this conversation by daily day basis, and I want to ask you another question. What we can do? We also have kind of daily jobs, okay, as me have, and I try to combine everything together. What really need to do to make an action, okay, as a natural action, as you call it. What you really need to make in this world. And the communication that we speak about before, well, how we can communicate with these people, how we can create, what kind of content we create. I believe we can create many, many different ideas and various of things like writing, make books. By the way, that make books is very, very. Attract me also to write the books, writing. So, how you see that?
Variety is definitely essential, right? Just as there's many different people and the discourse would be necessary, so that way people aren't following orders. The same way with sharing materials on that behalf. Again, show it in action. If you're showing that the world needs to be unique and should not be all one and the same and people shouldn't be following orders, then encourage people to be themselves, including so you start being yourself and showing your own actions and don't just parrot other people's words or parrot people's ways of doing things. Again, we went back to titles. Don't just use other people's titles, and you'll spark a reaction in people where they understand you better and they connect with you better. And they also have more interest in knowing you because they know you're not being part of some sort of identity or part of some sort of group. And so because if you start identifying yourself as some part of group as well, people are going to have preconceived notions about you. They're like, oh, well, this person's part of this. Oh, well, they're part of this. And they'll just shut you off. They don't even want to learn more about you because they already figured you out. Like, oh, I already know this person's all about this, so I'm not going to bother. But if you are unique to the point where people don't really understand you that well because you are yourself, then you kind of make them curious and they want to connect with you. And so you have something unique to share. Now, I'm not saying, necessarily just, be the outcast from everything and just do everything yourself with nobody else and don't work. Like, no, obviously you need to work together. And again, it's just a matter of finding out where do you imply the
Another
subjective and
point
where do
is
you.
to working together, to working
Yes.
as people, as community, and what we can make a good, what we can, how we can build a good community that's based on morality and freedom
So
and respect and re
that starts with people coming together, sharing their ideas and a variety of it. Because then it causes a bunch more ideas to come about of it. And eventually the good ideas start rising to the top and people sort of come together around certain things, right? Because that's what happens out of discourse, out of controversy, is actually unification.
Yes, to be on the same page and to be together.
Yes. And in fact, when you have this false sense of unity where it's like people must follow this one way, then it actually causes more division. So it's funny how that works because that's what we see in today's world. Like everybody must follow this law and this thing and let's be tolerant. And meanwhile, it's causing a bunch more division than it is actually unifying people. And so what you actually want is to express yourself and encourage other people to express themselves too. And you respect them for their differences. You respect them for who they are, There's a lot of people who I may disagree with on different things. It doesn't matter as long as we're not imposing our will on each other. And that's all the world that we want, you know, it's just a world where we respect each other. So let's just bring our ideas to the table and find out where do we agree. We agree that violence is wrong, you know, like that's it. We agree that, you know, authority is an exception to that violence, or at least it attempts to be, right? By saying, oh, well, I'm authority, so I can do actions that other people can't do. Well, no, that's wrong. That's basically making them exempt from everybody else's morality. That puts them in a higher position than everybody else's life. So if you can come together, like I said, on the very basic essential things, then yes, that's where the change could be done, in conversation with people. So it starts with conversation, getting people together
Conversation.
and sharing ideas across many different ways. It includes books, flyers, brochures, business cards, videos, right? Infographics, memes, internet threads, you know, forums, what have you, to spread the message. And you can utilize all of them as you see fit and experiment and see what really works for you. Because again, you cannot leave the equation. This is where, again, the subjective must balance out and understand where the objective comes in. You, as the subjective individual, being your unique self, has to find out, well, wait, you know, these are other people producing content, but I don't have to be like them. And maybe I have a better way of doing it, or maybe there's a way that works better for me because I'm not them. I can't do the same thing everybody else does. I have a different environment, different lighting, different cameras, different, you know, people around me, different ideas, all these things that make us different. Use that to your advantage to help us unify and become, you know, together on the same cause based around difference. We can unite on difference. You got that? Okay, cool.
Yes, I want to ask
So,
how you approach kind of order following.
yeah, so order following is to me mental slavery, which is just statism, right? So that is essentially the easy term of statism, I would say. Like if people don't know what statism is, I'll say it's basically order following. Thinking that somebody has, you know, this right to rule that doesn't exist in nature because no one has that authority naturally, right? They have to presume it, make people ignorant of their own nature. They have to create all these titles and fancy systems to abide to this presumption, to the idea like, oh, I have more rights than you, or I can write on the fancy piece of paper and it means this now. So all of that stems from the idea of order following because people just go along with it. And so if you just go along with whatever, you're basically blind obedient. That is statism. That's mental slavery. You know, you're following whatever the slave master says and you just go along with it. And you're willingly obedient. But you're not consciously thinking for yourself.
How we can inform these people to quit their jobs, what they do?
With their jobs, their current jobs, like
Yeah.
so I guess it would depend on the profession, but
Depend on the
so
profession? What do you
a
mean by
little
that?
bit, a little bit. Not it, the thing is that everybody, again, like just because they have different environments and they're different people, they can still come to the same
You need to
understandings
be
because they're
approached to
still
them different in different ways. That's what you mean.
that's that. Yeah, because, you know, take for example, communism appealed in the 1900s to the working class. You know, like they would appeal to certain working classes because they knew they would get the vote. You know, they knew that they would get the appeal. So you can appeal to certain groups. Like some people may want to appeal to spiritual people because, like, oh, they're all about unity and they're all about trying to, I don't know, make us feel better. Right. And then some people might want to appeal to health practitioners and say, well, they are a good crowd to go after and to share these ideas because they are being attacked by the medical establishment and they want alternatives and they want to see why the world is ending up the way it is and why it's affecting their own practice. But I think everybody's being affected to some extent, and it's just a matter of finding out that individual where they're being affected. So you have to talk with each individual. Everyone is different in that regards of profession, just as it is for many other things. And that's why we need the variety of materials and the variety of different people doing this work, right? It's the one great work. It's not easy.
Yes,
There's work
exactly.
that has to be
This what
involved.
has
If
these questions because important.
if it was
This what we need
easy,
to. This what we need to make in.
yeah,
It's all about what we need to. What
but
we
if
need
it
to
was
know.
easy, If it was easy, there'd be one action step. There would be
Yeah.
one simple thing, like let's just do that. But there isn't. Okay, I can say it's conversation. I can say it's having a movement. I could say it's some of the things I've been saying. But even still, within that, there's still a lot of other work that has to be done. And you know that it's not as easy as like, oh, let's just have a conversation. Like, you know, it's gonna end up with a bunch of cognitive dissonance. There's gonna be a lot of blockades. The best thing is just to plant the seed, have it there, able for people. And again, it depends on how open and willing they are. So yeah, the spiritual people, the people in the health field, maybe even former cops, veterans who went through wars. I mean, these are crowds that I notice would be more open to this information. That
Yes,
being said, why not sh that being said,
I know
why not share it with everyone?
have movement here that soldiers that after wars and they was traumatized by this army and military systems, and they just expose the evil they make. They expose the murders they murder, and how they not give a shit about them. They just throw them like a piece of garbage. Of them, they use them, and they replace them. They not give.
Yeah.
What with you? You can die. You can be a handicap. They not care.
So they experience
So,
firsthand, and again, it gives them
yeah. So.
an advantage to this knowledge, right? But again, you should have faith in every individual. So let's say anyone's going under cancer, right? Or anybody has a disease they're fighting. And all of us have different fights that we battle in our life. Well, this is one that we're fighting here. I mean, some people would call statism a disease or what have you, but it is something that we're fighting, and it's something that the whole human species is fighting, and you fought it before, so use your experience to your leverage. It's like, oh, I fought this disease. Well, and I fought this belief system in this case, and you can share your experience with that. The individual, it's important to look at that because it's the like the person who's the average person who's working, 9 to 5 or whatever. That's how it is in America. I know you're across the
Yeah,
world.
this is the same here.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I figured. And somebody who's working all the time, they're always distracted, essentially. Not to say like they're not doing anything productive, but their work is holding them,
This
and
is the
everybody knows
whole world for them, everything.
that. They know that too, that it's holding them, back to some extent in their own life, and they want to do other things with their life. So I think the best thing is just to maintain a good social relations with these people, and then eventually over time, your ideas will share to them. You don't have to shove it down their throat and be like, this is
Yeah.
what you must understand, like right now. Like, no, you just hang out, and eventually the ideas will
You
get
put
to
the
them.
seed
They'll find
inside
interest. But that's the
in the
thing. The
right
people
moment.
just need. Yeah, exactly. At the right moment, right? Maybe they're watching TV and they see these things, and then they see how bad the world is, or they learn a little bit about your
Synchronicity.
personal, or they ask a bit about yourself and your personal experience, and then you naturally just sort of delve into it. You're not just out there saying, you got to listen to this right now. Like, no,
To be
they actually ask
synchronistic
for it.
about that, synchronistic.
Yeah, that being said though, so everybody is again, we're all human beings. We're all in the same reality. Okay. So even still, despite having different jobs and experiences, we still should have faith in the fact that an individual can heal or an individual can escape this belief system. So that means still try to reach out to everyone. It doesn't matter, even if certain crowds are more receptive. You don't know. Somebody in the workforce may be so sick of their job, and every time they may be having all these restrictions at their job and all these things keeping them back, or the government keeps taking more of their money. They're sick of it. They're dealing with a bunch of health problems, and nobody's giving them solutions, and the doctors are messing with them. The politicians keep lying to them. They voted in somebody and it doesn't do anything for them, and what have you, or they keep playing the system and it never gets anywhere. This is the majority of people. So you can honestly share this information with anybody. Just yes, of course, certain people are going to probably be more receptive to it. Like you said, the veterans, I think, is a certain crowd that can be pretty darn receptive. But I wouldn't discourage people from sharing it everywhere. You know what I mean? But by sharing it everywhere, I just mean have it there, like a material, have it there, your presence. Don't just start, screaming in the top of your lungs with a megaphone
I
and hope
like
that
the
people
way you
wake up.
say the presence. Yes, this you give the energy there. You give the,
Yes.
This also.
The Tao Te Ching is very important, right? It talks about inaction, which is very different from action. And yet you become a leader by doing nothing. Isn't that interesting? Well, it's simply because you're just being yourself and you're living by the way, the Tao, right? And so other people see that way. And naturally, they sort of gravitate toward that as they recognize every other way is essentially contradictory to that one way. So if you're following that one way and they keep falling into holes and you keep, pushing up the hill, they're going to be like, man, this person got up the hill pretty far and I'm still stuck at the bottom, because they haven't still they still haven't taken the right way up the hill. So they're like, man, well, how do I get up the hill? Maybe I should actually ask for help, the person that's on top of the hill. I mean, he did offer me help a while back. He was there, saying, hey, I'm going to go up the hill. I'm going down this way. He did warn me. And that's the thing. So when you plant the seed and people remember you, or people have you in the back of their mind, or you're always there with them, it'll be pretty easy for you to share your ideas with them over time as society develops, as things and time develop, because unfortunately, things also develop by time. So time tells all truth, right? And so you need time to assist you. As the world collapses and gets even worse, more people are going to wake up because that's how time works. You don't have to do a thing. A karma will do itself, its own bidding. And the natural law does not need you, but you can work with the law and you can save a lot more lives. And so that's what we're trying to do, is trying to help people wake up to the laws before the laws hit them and strike them in
Yes,
the
exactly.
back and they're totally
To
screwed.
invert the situation, to not arrive to the extreme. Yes. Thank you very much, Corey. Really appreciate your knowledge and your passion for that, and really you encourage me, you inspire me also about your teachings and the way you do it. Please, how we can find you and what platforms and how we
Thank
can
you.
find.
Yeah, so all my links you can find at taplink.cc/CoreyHealth. Right. And you can just look up Corey Nature is the answer on any search engine. You should be able to find me. So Corey Nature is the answer. My last name is too difficult, so probably shouldn't bother typing that in. But all my links are on taplink.cc/CoreyHealth, because that will have everything from my books to the projects. And I encourage people to get involved. That's why I started projects, public projects, so people can get involved in the get more inspired to do more work, and other people see that, and they see there's a lot of other people who think like them, and it causes a bit more action. It causes a lot of inspiration. Like you said, you're inspired from me. I get inspired from you. I mean,
I'm
we all get
inspired,
inspired by each
yes,
other.
we inspired by each other, by all many teachers are inspired by them, and I inspired others. We need to inspire each other. That's
And
the
there's a
point.
lot of people who's been getting involved, Stephen. Like, there's a lot of new content creators that I've
Yeah,
seen just
that's
in the
good.
past year, because people are being inspired to want to do things and the truth is coming their way. Like I said, time and the place is sort of coming together where people are realizing, like, this is my time and place. Like, this is now, I gotta change my priorities. I have to start talking about the truth. I have to stop doing my day-to-day job, or at least if I do continue that, I need to still be sharing this other greater work. I need to be doing something more with my life toward a purpose, toward a goal, towards something that is actually going to help the destiny of humankind. And that is understanding our nature and getting other people to be in alignment with it. Natural law, natural rights, natural health, it's all one and the same. So people can take my perspectives on natural morality and all the other things we talked about. But the one thing I want people to do is really, look into their own life and find out what they can do. Be conscious of your actions, be responsible, of course, and encourage that within others and make no exceptions to morality. If you know violence is wrong, don't make that an exception and say, well, these people have the right to do that.
Yes, exactly.
Evil is never necessary.
Yes, ever
The
necessary.
unnatural is
Exactly.
never natural, It will deceive you and want to become natural so it can continue exist its existence. The slave master will want to continue their slavery. And you being on that plantation serving their needs. So they'll do everything possible so you can stay in that plantation. But once you realize you don't belong there and your nature dictates otherwise, that you can be freer and you can be happier if you are off of that plantation, then that's the action you should take, is actually one of freedom, which is that of possibility, which is that of creativity and expressing your heart and passions and not letting yourself be restricted by these man-made forces. So don't let yourself get restricted by technology, distractions, illusions of any kind, and realize the reality that is here. It's human experience, memories, energy, and there's great things happening. I encourage people to get involved with what I'm doing, and there's a lot of really good developments. So stay tuned because you can see truth in action and freedom in action. There are people coming together, and we're making it happen, and you can get involved.
I like to see that. I like to see the
Yeah.
collaboration between each other. Thank you again, Corey. Really appreciate that. And we have a lot of things I want to ask you, and maybe the next time. But good to hear from you, and I'm happy to speak with you. And really thank you about everything.
Thank you. I appreciate it.